That's such a strong feeling this morning. How the Spirit of God is really ministering to me this morning. And there are some people in the congregation today that are really heavy laden. I don't know what from. Just borne down by a heavy load. God wants you to know that the heaviness of the load that you're bearing is not of Him. That yes, they shall come against you, but not of me, saith the Lord. But God is a God of deliverance. God is a God of life and of peace. As I was sitting there and listening to the choir minister this song, A Quiet Place, there are some of you who are here today that have not experienced a quiet place in so long that you don't know what it's like to have a few minutes of quiet, peaceful rest. There's a heaviness and a burden in your life that you don't know what you're going to do with, and sometimes you just come to the end and don't know how you're going to make it another day or even another hour or another minute. And God wants you to know today that that's not of Him. That God is standing beside you, ready to set you free. That God Almighty has already sent Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be your peace. And no matter what it is that has come upon you, no matter how long you've been burdened down by it, no matter how heavy it may be, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith in His name, today, this morning, yea, even this very minute, can cause you to be set free if you'll believe on Him and put your trust in Him. It just hurts me to know that there are those that feel this way today. When God's already sent Jesus, He's already laid upon Jesus of Nazareth the chastisement of your peace. He's already paid the price for your freedom. He's already paid for your liberty and for your joy and for your gladness. And He doesn't want you to carry that heaviness anymore. God says in His Word to cast all of your burdens upon the Lord once and for all, for He careth for you. Now, I don't know who you are and I don't know how many you are, but it's heavy. And God wants you to be free today. And He also says for me to tell you this. Glory to God. It's no great struggle for you to be freed from your bondage. It's no great difficulty for God to set you free. He'd do it instantly and completely if you'll just trust Him for it. And He tells me that I'm to tell you this, that if you leave the auditorium this morning and you feel the same way that you did when you came in, it is not because that's His will nor His desire, but it's because you would not do what He's told you to do. There's no reason for anyone to leave here today with any heaviness, with any heavy heart, or any heavy load, because the power of God is here to set you free. Praise the Lord. Now, you may be saying, I don't know how to do it. Everybody just bow your heads for a moment. If you are one that God is speaking to and you're saying, I'd like to believe God, and I'd like to throw this yoke off, but I don't know how to do it. And the Spirit of God wants to help you. Just listen to Him. That's Him. That's that quiet voice speaking to you right now. Shh. You've heard that voice before, but you didn't know it was God. He's spoken to you many times. You thought it was you. It's the Spirit of God. Now, if you'd like to pray, you just pray with me. You just pray silently, it's all right. Father, I know that I'm one of those that you're talking to today. I'm one that's been seeking peace for a long time. I haven't been able to find it. I'm in turmoil, indecision, consternation, frustration everywhere I turn. It seems that no area of my life is settled. Everything's churned up all the time. I don't know which way to turn. But I believe you're speaking to me today, and I'm turning to you. I'm turning to you for all I'm worth. I cast all my care upon you today. I take Jesus as the answer. I receive him into my life as my Lord and as my Savior, as my healer, and as my deliverer. I take the Word of God and cause myself to be established in it. I take the Word as my standard. I confess that I'll live by it with your help and with your grace. I ask you to come upon me by your Holy Spirit. I cast down every imagination. I throw away every thought that sets itself in opposition to your word. And I come unto you as a little child. I don't have much to recommend myself, but you said to come, and I'm coming. I ask you, my Father, to set me free today from this load. Take it and lift it off my shoulders. Take it and bear it for me. I believe what you said. You said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm coming. And I'm believing you to give me rest. I need it so badly. And now, Father, I've done what you told me to do. I've asked you for your peace and your rest. I've cast my cares upon you. And by confidence in your word that you meant what you said and said what you meant, I receive your peace. I receive your rest. I receive your liberty in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. Amen. I feel better. I hope you do too. Praise God. Somebody got a new lease on life in here this morning. I just feel it lift off me. When it lifts off me, I know it came off somebody else too. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I know somebody has gotten something this morning because I've gotten to laughing. And when I go to laughing, I know that God has already done something. Let's see if we can laugh ourselves through the word here. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I want to talk to you today about yokes. Second Corinthians chapter 6, beginning to read at the 14th verse. Now there's some very good advice here Very good counsel out of God's Word. And for some of you who have been spinning around in circles, you're going to get your answer today. God wants to show you out of the Word why you've been spinning around in circles and not getting anywhere. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm reading from the 14th verse of chapter 6. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now let's ask the Lord to be sure that we get His Word on this, all right? Father, we've read Your Word, and You said that it would not return void. You said that we should study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You said, Father, that when we came and opened Your Word and studied it, that the anointing that was inside us, even the Holy Spirit, would teach us, and that we'd have no need of any man to teach us, but that He would teach us, and in Him is all truth and no error. Today, Father, we want the instruction of Your Holy Spirit. We want You to speak to us, Father, by Your Spirit, out of these words and others that are in the Scripture. We know that Your Word is alive, that it's quick and it's powerful, that it causes the truth and error to be separated in our lives, that it causes light to come into the place where darkness has been. And that's what we want today, is Your Word, anointed and proclaimed under the unction of Your Holy Spirit. And I ask You today, Father, that You'd give me utterance in the Spirit, that I would speak only Your words, none of my own, and I commit unto You my vessel and every part of it, and I yield all of my members as instruments of righteousness, that You may use them in any way that You see fit. Use every faculty I have, Father, but speak to us by the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus, and cause this Word to go deep into the hearts of Your people, cause the flock of God to be fed on nourishing food, and cause the darkness to flee in the presence of Your glorious light. We trust You to do it, even as we've asked. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says that righteousness and unrighteousness do not have any fellowship. He said that light and darkness do not have anything in common. He said that Jesus Christ and Satan, that's who Belial there is, Satan have nothing in common. They have absolutely nothing together. He said that a believer and an infidel, that's an unbeliever, have nothing in common. They don't even understand one another. And Paul says, do not be yoked with the opposite. Because if you are yoked with an opposite, you are unequally yoked. When he talks here about light and darkness, when he talks about righteousness and unrighteousness, he's talking about people. He's not talking about things. Jesus Christ said, "Ye are the light of the world." You're the light. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You are God's righteousness. And when he says here, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" he is saying to you and to me, what fellowship do you have, do I have, with unrighteousness? Because I am righteousness, you are righteousness, because God has made us such in Christ Jesus. What communion hath light with darkness? In other words, what communion do you have with a person who's in darkness? You are the light. You are righteousness. You and I are to have no fellowship, no communion with those that are unrighteousness, those that are darkness. All right, now what is Paul saying? Does that mean we're not to speak to, talk to, have any connection or any common activities with unsaved people? No, that's not what he says. He says, have no fellowship and no communion. Have no participation. Have no joint activity. Have no joint venture where you take a part in what they are doing. He did not say don't speak to. He did not say don't see. He did not say have no contact with. He said have no fellowship with. There's a difference here between fellowship and contact. If he said have no contact, then you'd never ever get anybody saved, because when you found out somebody was a sinner, you could never talk to them. Now that would be stupid, wouldn't it? He also said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the church doesn't need the gospel preached to it, does it? If the church's already been born again, it doesn't need the gospel of God's eternal salvation. The world needs that. The sinners need that. Those that are outside and those that are inside the churches that don't have the church inside them or Jesus inside them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians the 5th chapter, where he was talking about a man that was in the church who was guilty of fornication with his father's wife. He said, throw that man out of the church. He says, get him out. Don't you know that a little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump? Get him out. But then he said this in verse 11. But now I have written to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one, no, not to eat. But now look at the 10th verse, just above it. Let's read it 9 first. I wrote you unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. He said, I wrote you and I told you you're not to have company with people like this, but I did not mean those people that were in the world, because if I gave you that instruction, you wouldn't be able to live in the world. You'd have to leave the world, and that's impossible. What I did say, if there's a man in your church who's an idolater, if there's a man in your midst who's a fornicator, if there's a man in your midst who is a covetous person or a railer or an extortioner, don't have any contact with him. He says, don't even eat with him. Now that's hard, but that's what it says. But now he's not talking about those that are on the outside. So fellowship, you see, and contact are not the same thing. Fellowship carries with it, and communion, these words, carry with it the idea of participation in, actively engaged with, a person in an activity or another. All right, let's go back to where we were now. 2 Corinthians 6.
Paul says this, and this makes it about as clear as anybody could make it. In verse 15, what concord? What concord? What togetherness does Jesus Christ have with Satan? What concert does the Lord Jesus have with the devil? How much? None. In the same way, you are not to be yoked or joined with unbelievers because it's the same thing. Now, why is that true? Some of you are married to unbelievers. Some of you are associated in business with unbelievers. Some of you have established joint arrangements in your neighborhoods with unbelievers. Some of you are associated in other ways with unbelievers, in partnerships of one sort or another, agreements of one type or another. Now let's take those of you that have business partners that are not saved. You're trying to go like this in your business. You're trying to walk a straight line, aren't you? But if you are yoked to an unbeliever, he is not listening to the same voice you're listening to. He does not understand the same laws that you understand. The Word of God says that the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. You're listening to two different instructors. You have two different fathers. You have two different motivations on the inside of you, and you're going this way, and he's standing still. And do you know what happens when you take two oxen and yoke them up, and one of them won't move? The one that does move goes like this. See? Now, how many of you are going like that? Don't raise your hands. Truly, how many of you are going like that? Or how many of you are going worse than that? You're going like this. Like that. Now, that looks silly, doesn't it? But you see, from the standpoint of those that watch your life, that's exactly the way it looks. Have you ever seen an oxen and an ass hooked up together in a yoke? Anybody? Did you ever see a horse and a cow hooked up together in a yoke? Stupid, isn't it? Would you expect to see Jesus Christ and the devil hooked up together in a yoke? God's Word says, don't you be hooked up either. With an ass or with a cow. Get hooked up with a believer. Get connected with someone who has the same spirit inside him as you do. Now, those of you that are married to unbelievers, some of you are going to say, oh, good. He's going to say, I can get unyoked. No. No, I'm not going to say you can get unyoked. If you have yoked yourself to an unbeliever and become one flesh with her or with him, you'll stay that way, one flesh with that unbeliever. And your answer is prayer. Your answer is believing prayer. Your answer is living the life of Christ in front of that unbeliever and get him to change his thoughts or her to change hers. For those of you who are not married, listen carefully. I don't care how good looking he is. I don't care how much money his old man has. I don't care how smooth or how slick his tongue is. I don't care how many women want him. I don't care what kind of a job he has. I only care about one thing. If you're a Christian, is he? And if you're a Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-speaking Christian who loves God with all of his heart, he better be too. And if he isn't, you are in for trouble. You're in for 50, 60, 70 years of misery. unless you can believe God to bring him into the kingdom. Now that's the truth. Young people, and those of you who are not yoked yet, don't you yoke yourself with unbelievers. You make sure they know Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, for those of you who are dating, say, well, wouldn't you date anybody except a Christian? Well, I'd think twice about it. I wouldn't want to take a chance on developing a strong love for someone that wasn't a Christian. And then I'd have to fight that, you see. Do not be unequally yoked. If you yoke yourself, nobody will yoke you. Understand this now. God's not going to yoke you. The devil won't yoke you. You will have to submit to the yoke. Make sure you know what you're going into. I tell you, young people don't know this. And they need to know it. They need to know it. If I was a young person, I just wouldn't date any non-Christians. I don't care how good looking they are. I tell you, there's some awfully beautiful Christian girls. Hey, fellas. Hey, anybody say amen?
Amen.
That's all right. You can say that. You can say that. I grew up with four very lovely sisters. I mean, you know, in the flesh, sisters. I'm not afraid to say they're beautiful. I'm not afraid to say that you sisters are beautiful either. Absolutely gorgeous. I've never seen a more beautiful woman than one who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, that is a good-looking woman. There's no question about it. And there's no reason to be embarrassed. I'm not certainly not embarrassed about it. I think my wife is a beautiful, beautiful lady. She was lovely when I married her. She is more lovely today than she was the day I married her. Now, I'm not embarrassed to say that about any of the rest of you either. You see, the devil doesn't have all the good-looking guys. He didn't have all the sharp girls. God's got the class. God's got the cream, see? God's got the good ones. Now, you might have to wait. You might have to wait to find them. I'm going to tell you this, when you got her, when you got him, you got a precious jewel. A precious jewel. And don't you settle for anything less than that which belongs to you. Don't be unequally yoked. If you do, you've bought and paid for your future. Now, if you're in that situation, that doesn't mean there's no hope for you. You pray and believe God to save your husband. You live the life of Jesus Christ in front of him. You release him to God and believe him to do the work. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 7, if you are married to an unbeliever, do not depart. If he be willing to live with you, leave him there. Because how are you to know that the believing wife may save the husband? So that's your situation in a marriage. But I want to talk especially to the unmarried today on that particular subject. It's very important. Very important. All right, suppose you have a business situation and you have a business partner. Some of you do. Now, some of you actually have partners. Some of you are loosely associated in partnerships like this. My advice to you would be this. Don't ever stop praying for your partner. But ask God if he wouldn't give you a born-again partner. Ask God if he wouldn't either save that partner or get you another one. There's nothing in the Scripture that says you must stay with an unsaved partner. There's nothing in the Word of God that says you've become one flesh with your business partner. Now, I'm not telling you dump him. But I'm saying ask God to go to work there. Because as long as you're yoked to him, as long as you are yoked to her. Now, when I talk about a business partner, now I'm talking about all kinds of associations where you have joined yourself with another individual, where you are yoked together. Now, I'm going to talk in just a minute about employee-employer, okay? I'm not talking about that. If you are an employer or an employee, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about where you have an equal partnership with somebody. Do you understand the difference? Where you have an equal responsibility. You're making decisions together. If you're working on the local garden club committee, you and another lady, and you're trying to figure out what kind of flowers to plant outside your subdivision entrance, you are unequally yoked. Now, you may think that is stupid, but I'm going to tell you from a pastor's viewpoint, so many of God's people are so embroiled into stupid kinds of things like that because of their associations with unbelievers. They're running around in circles like this and they can't even see the Word of God. They cannot see the simple, pure truth of God's Word. They're so bound up and so confused and so blinded because of their other associations and fellowships and partnerships that God can't get through to them, and I can't either. And they don't realize what's happened to them. They begin to listen, you see, to all of this garbage, all of these things, you see, that are important to the people that are in the world and are not important to the children of God. And you begin to get confused with it. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. It causes us so much trouble. More than most of you know, more even than I recognize, how much trouble it causes. We get into a situation with a partner, an associate. He doesn't understand the Word of God. You want to tithe your business profits. He says, what? A tenth? Are you nuts? Do you realize how hard I work? Do you realize the kind of hours? Are you going to take 10% and give it to the church? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. That's right. You are out of your mind. Praise God, you're in the Spirit. See? But he's still in his mind. The natural man doth not understand the things of the Spirit. You want to do something good for somebody. He doesn't care about doing something good for somebody. He wants to make a buck. He wants to make the business grow. In your marriage, you want to go to church on Sunday morning. He doesn't give a flip about going to church. He wants to go play golf. You'd like to have a Bible study in the evenings in the home, and you'd like to share with your young children the things of Jesus. He's not interested in that. He wants to gather the family around the TV set. He doesn't understand. He's a natural man or a natural woman. Be not unequally yoked. Do not run around in circles. If you are unequally yoked, my counsel is, if the Word of God does not specifically tell you not to seek to be removed, like in a marriage, that you seek to extricate yourself from that arrangement and ask God to show you how to do it. Ask God to make a way. Ask the Lord Jesus to show you how to get that area of your life straightened up. And He'll make a way. He'll make a way. He'll make a way. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, in the 20th chapter, my prayer is that you receive this. This is so important. This is more important than many of us recognize. God said through Moses in the 7th verse, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy. In other words, separate yourselves. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify or separate you. Now, if you look in the 24th verse, but I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. In verse 26, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and I have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. He says, you're not the same anymore. You hadn't been redeemed with silver and gold, but you've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. I've separated you. I've taken you out of that, and I have put you over here in my kingdom. I've given you an inheritance that you didn't work for. I gave you vines that you didn't plant. I gave you the fullness of everything that I've got because of my Son Jesus Christ. Now be not yet again enslaved with the yoke of bondage, Paul said in Galatians. Why go back into that again? Why, oh, why, oh, why go back in? He says, come out from among them and be separate. Be sanctified unto God. Live for Him wholly and completely. Make Him first.
Now, just a word so that no one would misunderstand. God does not say that you must work for a Christian company or a Christian employer. It sure is a wonderful blessing of God if you can. If God will give you a Christian organization to work for, if He'll give you a Christian supervisor, you can praise God for that. If you are an employer or a supervisor, it's not required of God that you hire only Christian people. It's a wonderful blessing of God if He gives you only Christians. But it's not a requirement in God's Word. Because the Word of God says in several places, we'll not look at them this morning in the interest of time, but in several places in the New Testament, you can run the references on these in Ephesians and Timothy and in Thessalonians and in Titus, in Peter. He says that you that are servants, in other words, you that are employees, do your work as unto the Lord. And He said, if you have a Christian employer, a believer, treat him all the more honestly because he's a brother. But He doesn't say leave the unbeliever. Because here's the difference, and this is what I want you to see. If you are employed by a man, you are not yoked with him. You are working for him. Do you understand the difference? You are not yoked with him. You're employed by him. If you are an employer and you have an employee, he's not yoked with you nor you with him. You have an association and a contact, yes, and you have an obligation to one another, but you are not yoked together. One's superior, one's inferior. You have that kind of a relationship. You do not have a yoking. The key word in this passage is yoke. The key word is be not unequally yoked. He did not say, be not unequally associated. He said, be not unequally yoked. Now, if there's an area in your life today in which you are unequally yoked, I believe God's already spoken to you clearly about what His Word says. And if you'll wait upon Him, He will show you what to do about it, to extricate yourself from that. Either by changing your yoke mate or by moving you out of the yoke. Jesus said in Matthew 11, it's 11, I believe, verses 31 and 2 and through there. Let's just be sure. If anybody's writing it down, we want to be sure that we get that reference right. That's a terribly important one. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You take another Christian as your yoke mate. You take Jesus Christ in the form of another Christian as your yoke mate for life, for business, for your social partnerships and all the rest. You be very careful when the people come to your door and want you to agree to participate in this organization or that organization or that organization. Find out whether they're believers for God's sake. There are very many worthwhile causes going around these days. They're very worthwhile, but they are not Christian. And they are not motivated by the same spirit that motivates you.
And when you get connected with them, you'll be unhappy in that association because you're not yoked equally. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Christians are by their very nature good people. They're also suckers. Now let me put quotation marks around that word. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are unsuspecting and trusting, generally. And anything that sounds good, well, God would have me do that. Not because it sounds good, brethren. Not because it sounds good. Find out, is it righteousness? Is it light? Is it Christ? Is it the temple of God? Is it believers? If it isn't, flee. Come out from among them. There's plenty to do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's plenty to do in His name. Do His work. Do His work. Don't be embroiled in all those other things. Do not be unequally yoked. It is not a pleasant situation. It is not a pleasant situation. My wife was unequally yoked with me for 10 years. She went around in circles. Just run around in circles. She didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know why. I didn't know it either. But I know it now. And I tell you, when she got an equal yoke mate, when she got an equal yoke mate, we began to go in the same direction, at the same time, at the same pace, and glory be to God, He's done a wonderful work in our lives. You must be equally yoked. You must be equally yoked. It's important. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You have shared with us today. We thank You, our Father, for Your instruction that we are to be perfected in holiness, that we are to be careful of our fellowship. We're to be careful of those that we have communion with and intimate association and partnership with, that we're to be careful how we yoke ourselves. We thank You, Father, that You have not called us out of the world completely, that we can still be the salt of the earth. That in our earthly associations, that we can flavor life, that we can bring light where there's darkness. But we acknowledge that You've called us not to be connected, associated, joined with anything that is not of You. We know that You've done that for our own good. Now we ask You, Father, as we're praying and as we've heard this word today, sometimes, Father, we are unsuspecting, and our spiritual antenna are not as finely tuned as they need to be, and we need Your warning system. And so we pray today, Father, asking You to sound the alarm by Your Holy Spirit inside us if we are about to enter into an unequal yoking. You warn us, we'll obey You. And for those of us, Father, that are unequally yoked because of our own ignorance, or because we were yoked before we were saved, we ask You to show us how to pray, that Your perfect will might be done in that communion, in that fellowship, in that relationship. That we might walk in every area of our life equally yoked, even as we're yoked to Christ. Let us sing together, "Take Time to Be Holy."